I entitled my lesson here, Test Yourself. And I appreciate the services already given. Some of the thoughts that I'm going to present here already been mentioned. And it's amazing, it always amazes me how the Lord ties things together. You know, sometimes I used to think, well, that's a good coincidence. And then that's another good coincidence. After a few times, it's not coincidence anymore, brethren. We know it's the Spirit of the Lord. And we can be so thankful for his overrulings. He knows what we need. Over the last while, some of us have been having a lot of different experiences in my life, just with the amount of things going on. And my mind has been weighed down with things of this world, duties and responsibilities. And sometimes I start thinking that maybe I'm not where I need to be. And some of the thoughts that Brother Peter mentioned last night really kind of dovetail with some of the thoughts that were going through my mind. And so I'm thinking about, came across a scripture, I've read it before many times, but 2 Corinthians 13:5. And so while reading this scripture, it really struck me, the Apostle Paul's concern and what he has to say to the brethren in that verse. You know, so we need to look at our lives and where we are and what we need to be doing. So first of all, I'm just going to start by reading that verse. And actually, I'm going to read the context up to verse 8. But I'm going to read it from a different version. It's called the Message version. And it just gives a different feel to it. So I'm just going to read it from there. And it says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves a regular checkup. You need first-hand evidence, not merely hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show up that you have failed. But if it comes to that, we'd rather the test showed our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise. And it really gives, to me, it kind of sums up the feelings of Apostle Paul. His heartfelt feeling for the brethren. I like the point where he says he's rooting for them, that the truth will win out in them. So just to come back to 2 Corinthians 13:5, and we'll just again reread that from a version that we're probably a little more familiar with. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed fail the test? In this scripture, we find a really interesting fact that our Brother Paul, used two separate words, action words, describing us to test or examine ourselves. And we're going to look into these a little bit as we continue on, and we're going to look more into this scripture. But he's really wanting us a deep introspection of ourselves. Not just casually looking at our lives, how our consecration is going, how our daily actions are, but deeply looking into that, our attitudes, our actions. And we're going to touch on 5 points throughout this service here. And the first one is, the verse tells us that we are to test ourselves to make sure that we are solid in the faith. The second thing that it does is it says, test ourselves to see if Jesus Christ is in you. Thirdly, it says that we should know that we belong. Fourthly, not to drift along taking things for granted. And fifthly, give ourselves a regular checkup. So let's begin with the first one. It talks about, firstly, testing to see if we are in the faith. We are solid in the faith. This word here comes from the Greek word, I'll give you the number because I can't say it, 3985. And it means to try whether a thing can be done, to attempt, to endeavor, to make a trial or a test. But before we go into this, we'll come into this description a little bit more. But leading up to this verse that we're going to be talking about, if we turn back to the 11th and 12th chapters here, Apostle Paul puts forth this question here, but it's in response to the Corinthian brethren. When Paul originally wrote the first book of Corinthians, the Corinthian church was having a problem. They were having problems within the church, and he chided them. He gave them examples of how to live, what to do, and so forth. In the second chapter, in the second Corinthians, they had resolved some of the problems, but it seems like they also wanted Apostle Paul to prove to them why he had the authority that he did. So in the 11th and 12th chapters, it's almost like these questions that Apostle Paul asked the Corinthian brethren in 13:5, they seem to have asked him. So Apostle Paul, and I'd just like to go through some of this, because this frames the reasoning behind that question. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 5, Paul claims his apostleship. Actually, a few verses around that. But he reads, "Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles." Apostle Paul was called specially by God. He was granted special visions. He was told that he was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He had that special commission. And he was in no way inferior to the other 11, even though they had walked with Jesus. The Lord made sure that he was equipped in the same manner as they were. In chapter 11, verses 22 to 33, Paul shows his suffering for Christ, his commitment to doing God's will, showing that he was able to, no matter where God put him, no matter what place, what experience was going on, what condition, he was willing to go through it. And we'll just read a few of the verses there. "Are they servants of Christ? Am I better? Am I a better one? Am I talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near-death experiences? 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. In peril of, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers from in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, toils and hardships, sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food and in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And am I not weak? Who is made to fall? And am I not indignant? If I boast, I will boast of these things that show my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying." But Apostle Paul, he wasn't bragging here. He was showing his commitment to our Heavenly Father, a life that was dedicated to Christ. For him, meant nothing less than these experiences. He gave these hard ones, but when you think of the amount of other experiences that he went through that he doesn't mention, it would fill countless books. We go into the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Paul talks about the spiritual visions that he was given. And I'll just read a little those verses. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of body. I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which a man cannot utter. And here, Paul shows the special visions that God gave him that allowed him to be considered one of the 12. It gave him these experiences, these lessons, I should say, that allowed him to write what he wrote in his epistles. The many wonderful lessons that we today can garner from that. But it gave him that authority to be able to preach the word of God to the Gentiles and to the Jews. And then in verses 7 through 9 in the 12th chapter, he gives an experience here, a special experience or trial that was given, allowed by the Lord to keep him humble. And sometimes I've in the past used to read these verses and think, you know, that it was something that Paul, well, I imagine at times was a burden to him, but also I think Paul really considered this a blessing. And I'm not sure, we don't know exactly what this thorn was, whether it was eyesight and or so forth. But it was something that he claimed in these verses to prove that God was dealing with him. And we'll just read these verses. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me and keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we see it from Apostle Paul. He didn't consider that a trial. It was something he, like anything in our life, we sometimes, when we're going through a tough thing or we have something in our life that weighs us down and maybe a lifelong experience, we may want to get rid of it. And we may want to say, Lord, this could be removed from us. I'd like to remove it. But sometimes the Lord knows better. Because of that experience, it may be the means by which our faithfulness is proved. And to Apostle Paul, he learned from this experience to trust in God for all his strength. So now we come to our theme of scripture that we've been talking about. He now turns the table on the Corinthian brethren. He says, I can prove how I am led by the Lord through the experiences. How about you? So again, we come back to that first point. He first tests them on their faith, whether they are in the faith. Can they prove if they are in the faith? And I think, brethren, Paul asked that of the Corinthian brethren, but we can ask that of ourselves. Paul's getting right to the essence. He's probing right to the core of our new creature. Are we true believers? Are we following the gospel? Have we committed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Have we set our affections on God? We need to be honestly looking at our lives and make sure that we are not deceiving ourselves. It's easy to be led astray. And I'm not talking led astray completely. Led astray slightly. Where we get caught up into things of this world, we can lose our focus. We can get stuck on things that are not things of God. It's easy to do, brethren. I know myself, there's many times where all of a sudden I realize that I haven't thought of God for a while. And you start to wonder, if it's that easy, it can come minutes, it can come hours, and you know, sometimes it's been a day. And it's not a pleasant feeling. But that's what he's talking about. Are we day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, focusing our life on Christ? We must continue on that straight and narrow way. You know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up into things that are going around, our work, our kids. You know, myself, my kids nowadays, they require a lot of attention. They're at that age, and it's sometimes, it's a great thing to do, but sometimes it can make you lose focus. We get caught up into causes in this world. You know, there's so many noble causes these days out there. And I listed a whole bunch of them, but we don't need to actually. We all know the causes that are out there. And many of them are noble. But is that what God wants us to do? What is our number one? God, Paul asked, can you test your faith? Is your faith true? Is your heart set on God? Apostle Paul talks about this in Hebrews 4:12, that our intentions, let me just read it. It's probably better than me trying to mumble through it. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Comes down to that, brethren. We need to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Are we correctly dealing with them? From there, Paul goes on. He asks them a second time to test themselves. This word here is similar but slightly different. It means to prove, to scrutinize, to see whether something is genuine. And it's the word that's used when they would check metals. If this metal was pure gold, they would test it, and they would use this word to say, we're testing this to see if it's pure. So we see that God wants to test our heart intentions, but now he wants to test our commitment. The expression of our heart intentions must now be tested to see if that is pure. Are we true Christians? Are we truly genuine? Are we proving faithful in our actions? Now, Paul says, test whether Christ be in you. We're not literally talking that Christ is in us. We all know this. This figuratively saying, is the character of Christ now dwelling within us? Have we developed the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit? Have we grown into the image of Christ? Last weekend at our convention, we had the theme text there, 2 Peter 1:5 through 8. And I'd just like to read that because I think that's a very important text. I really appreciated the work that the brethren did on that. But they talked about the importance of increasing continually. That it can't be something where we start and say, I'm going to work at it a little bit and I'm good at this part, but that part, that's okay. But it's a whole package. But let's read that. It says, for this very reason, you must make every effort to supplement your faith with moral character, your moral character with knowledge, your knowledge with self-control, your self-control with endurance, your endurance with godliness, your godliness with brotherly kindness, your brotherly kindness with love. For if you possess these qualities, and if they continue to increase in you, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in attaining to the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 is the highlight of that. It brings us to the point of why we have to come into character development, why it's necessary, because we then come into the full knowledge of Christ and we will be fruitful, we will be productive, we will be effective, we will be faithful to our Heavenly Father. This is a process, brother. We continually grow. We continually are working on this. And it must never stop. But as we grow, God now tests us. And how does he test us? He tests us through experiences. He proves our character. He allows us to go through different tests. And just like gold is purified, we use gold quite often in discussion, but just as gold has to go through fire, be purified, it has to be melted, and the impurities burnt off, so do we. And Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 1:7, where he says, "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul talked about his experiences, his sufferings that he went through for the sake of Christ. We too must go through those experiences. We too must suffer. We too are going to have hardships. But the point is, what do we do with those hardships? That's the key. We all can go through hardships. But the key is, how do we deal with them? That's what the Lord is testing to find out. It's our response to them. Any of us can go through a hardship and grumble at the end. That's easy. But when we go through experience, can we say, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, this light, temporary nature of our suffering is producing for us everlasting weight of glory, far beyond any comparison, because we do not look for things that can be seen, but for things that cannot be seen. For the things that can be seen are temporary, but the things that cannot be seen are eternal. That is the key. If we can come out of the experience praising our Heavenly Father and saying, yes, I've learned something and I am closer now to our Heavenly Father, we are on the right path. That's what Paul was asking the Corinthians. In your testing, are you doing this? Can you see this in yourself? Is Jesus Christ being manifested in you? Now we can think back to Job. God allowed Satan to do anything to him he wanted, short of taking his life. Satan took Job's family, his possessions, his health. And what did it cause Job to do? It caused Job to praise him, to praise God. It didn't even cross Job's mind to question God. You know, he even said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. You know, what a wonderful thought. And last weekend I was talking with one of the brethren there, and we were talking about some of the experiences we go through and how, you know, even preparing to go to convention, things come up, and he goes, you know, I'm sure Satan is just behind the scenes, and he's kind of like a little bully back there. He doesn't necessarily want to even cause you great things, but he's just there just to give you a little poke, just to see if he can cause you to say, you know, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should step back. Maybe we're working a little too hard for God. He doesn't need to completely get us to fall off. He just needs us to get unfocused. And he knows that if he gets us from following our Heavenly Father to any degree, he is winning in our lives. So that's, again, why Apostle Paul is focusing. Is Jesus Christ in you? Are you living that life? The Apostle Paul continues on the importance in there. We see how the importance that we must be focused on understanding God. Paul had those special visions. We don't have those special visions, but God has given us the word to understand God's plan, to understand who God is, to understand who Jesus is. The plans, the purposes, how to live our lives, what we need to do. And if we look at the apostles throughout, it comes to the next point that we're going to talk about, is knowing that we belong. We need to know that we are children of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe you are a child of God? Sometimes I don't always think that. I sometimes wonder. I sometimes have questions. But what do the scriptures say? Scriptures say we know. Well, Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "That is why I suffer as I do. However, I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am convinced he is able to protect what he has entrusted to me until the day that he comes." Apostle Paul knew that. He knew God's working in him. He didn't take it for granted. You know, we should be able to say we know our relationship with God just as easy as we know our relationship with our wife, with our children, with our parents. We know we have a relationship with them. There's no doubt in our mind. We need to have that same commitment, that same closeness with our Heavenly Father, because He is our Father. Maybe even closer, as the Scriptures say. It should be as close. We should have no doubt in our mind that we have that relationship with Him. That positive conviction, the trust in our God, to know that. In some ways it's a daunting thing, but in other ways it's straightforward. Because if my father-in-law always said to me, there are three parts to our consecration. There's God, there's Jesus in us. Can God fail? No. Can Jesus fail? No. The only one in there that can fail is us. So we know that God and Jesus, their hope is that we will be faithful to the end. You know, we have been called, we have been given a crown. It is up to us to be faithful to the end. As Brother Peter mentioned last night, God is able to give us the desire. So really, there's no excuse for us to be unfaithful. And along with that, God has given us the Holy Spirit that will lead us into all truth, that we can understand the promises that God has given to us and rejoice in them and claim them. And that is part of this knowing, of being able to claim the promises that God has given. And not only that, but to act on them. It's one thing to know these things and to live that, but we must now act on them. In the remaining time, we'd like to just continue on the next couple of points there. First of all, we've been tested. We have to be proved in two different ways. We have come to know our Heavenly Father, that He only has one hope for us. Now it comes down to our part. Especially when you read from the Message version where it says, don't drift along taking everything for granted. And I like that phrase. It doesn't quite say that in any other translation, but it adds that in there, and I'm not sure why exactly, but I like it. So I'm going to add it in, because it's easy to take things for granted at times. We can start to rest on our laurels. But we have to remember, none of us on our own strength can stand before God. Our only standing is under the blood of Christ's righteousness, under the robe. We step out from that in any way, we can't stand. We'll be condemned immediately. But it's not just enough to come under the robe of Christ's righteousness, brethren. We must now strive to be part, to gain the image of Christ. The process of sanctification has to continue on. We must work at it. Again, also, we must be careful not to be Sunday Christians, going to the meeting once a week, the rest of the week kind of thinking a little about God, you know, and thinking, oh, God will still watch over me, because I go to church on Sunday, I'm pretty good, I live a good life, but we don't really put the time and effort in to know Him. That's not good enough. That's taking God for granted. Another thing that we can come lax on and take for granted is God's love. Maybe we start to think that God's love is too lenient. We can do whatever we want, and God will forgive us. God's love is so great, He will always protect. He will always forgive us and let us continue on. But what does Apostle Paul say in Romans? God forbid us to think that way. We cannot be content with mediocrity, brethren. It's all or nothing if you read the apostles' writings. And the last point is, we need regular checkups. Just like a vehicle, maintenance is important. We too must have spiritual maintenance. We must be regularly checking our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Are we in line? Are we healthy? You know, we do have one for sure every year. Every year before Memorial, we all go through and do a heart check. But that's not good enough. We need to do it daily, brethren. We need to be continually refocusing ourselves back to God so that we don't allow any of the deviations of the mind to occur or any bad habit to start. Because once a habit starts, it's hard to stop. So, brethren, we see here from this scripture that we need to always be looking to our Heavenly Father, testing ourselves to make sure we are focused on Him, that our heart and our mind are set fully on Him, that we believe, that we know that God has only good for us in our intentions, in our way, that we are regularly looking at how we are walking, making sure that we are not forsaking the path that we are set to be on, but daily refocusing ourselves back to that compass, making God our only true hope. And I'd like to close just by reading 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 10. And again, I'm just going to read it from the Message Bible version. And it says, "For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Once I heard that I was glad to let it happen, I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride, and with good cheer, these limitations have cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become." Brethren, let us focus our minds on Christ and let our strength come from Him, because He can do it for us.